In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. What is most important for you today? It's the same thing that will be most important tomorrow and the next day. If we are to be successful in anything, we have to know what's most important. It's the same in business, in sports, in Christianity. If you know what's important and you learn to concentrate on it, then you will be successful. Now, the thing about Christianity is the things that are important are often not very visible. In fact, generally, you will be doing the most important things when people don't notice, and when you even might be alone. And I would say that the most important things that you do each day is you pray with your heart, not just pray, not just recite prayers, but pray with your heart as best you know how, and live within your heart as best you know how. That's more important than everything else. Whatever you have to do today, whatever you have to do tomorrow, no matter how important it is, if you have some important deadline at work, or you have a bill to pay, or you're receiving guests, or whatever else, the most important thing is that you're living in your heart today, and then, of course, tomorrow and the next day. And that can only be accomplished with prayer in your heart as best you can. Now, that might sound very mysterious to some of you, and that's why I'm speaking of it. The whole point of these little conversations, I guess they're not one conversations, right? They're just a monologue, is because there have been so many that have come into the church and that are asking to come into the church. And sometimes I get caught up in the idea, not as much as other people, because there's all these ideas that you learn about the church by catechesis. And it's true. And sometimes I feel, well, you know, I would really like to be stronger in sort of A to Z. But then I also tell people, you should come to the services. Because if you come to the services, it's all there. So I'm going to speak of something from the service that you hear all the time. Perhaps you hear it so often that it just doesn't have so much impact. But the thing is, the church, if they think something's important, if the church thinks something's important, we repeat it. Look at how often we talk about peace. Peace is very important. Peace not according to the world, but according to God. So that's why we talk about it, and why the Lord said it to his disciples when he saw them among in the upper room for the first time, and why we say it so often and have exclamations which talk about it. So I don't know how many times, I once counted how many times peace is mentioned in the Divine Liturgy. It's quite a few. So if something's repeated, it's important. And we should actually learn more from things that are repeated than things that we don't hear as often. Even though it is a human tendency to hear things often and kind of brush them off, right? Well, if that's somebody nagging you, then that's probably what you're going to do. But when it comes to Christian prayer, things that are repeated are very, very important. So we have something called the small lectania. Just a little tiny little thing. And it's in the services all the time. But what's important is that when we say these small prayers, that we try to have them come into our heart. Since they're repeated so often, they're really important. And they're really very simple. Life is very, very simple. I was thinking that recently, where, in fact, I was thinking that this morning and last night, I had grandiose plans that I thought were according to God's plan, and it wasn't according to God's plan. And it wasn't really a sin that I made those plans and it didn't work out. It's just that God chose another way. I was going to help someone who got out of prison to get acclimated. Turns out that because of all kinds of mistakes and whatever, he wasn't going to be able to parole to the town that I was literally coming up to stay in the Best Western and wait for him. So he's all the way on the other side of Texas right now, and we're making other arrangements. So I literally rented a hotel room in order to sit in it and not see anybody. Well, I was able to do some things here and there, but it gave me time to do the most important thing, which is pray. So it wasn't wasted. The trip wasn't wasted because I had more time to pray, and especially the prayer list of praying for people and praying the Jesus prayer. So it wasn't a wasted trip, even though it was not, it didn't fulfill the original objective. We must learn to do, in any day, do the most important thing and feel that there is success if we've done the most important thing. The most important thing is to live in your heart and pray in your heart. So here's the little litany. Again and again in peace, let us pray to the Lord. Now, if you're living in your heart, when you hear that word peace, you should sort of have, in my opinion, you should have kind of two feelings. One is this great yearning for the peace which passes all understanding, to know God with all of your heart and soul, to love Him with all of your heart and soul and mind, to have no darkness in you whatsoever, to be completely in God and with God. This is the peace that we are pursuing and that has been promised to us. So there should be a great yearning on your hand, on your part. But also, do you always act peaceful? Well, if we're honest with one another, we say no. Many times we're not peaceful. Maybe we're outwardly peaceful. We don't clench our fist at someone or yell at someone, but we're irritated or we're lazy or we're lackadaisical or we have bad thoughts. So there should be a certain wistfulness, shall we say, or sorrow would be better. Because wistfulness, I think sometimes there's people don't do anything about being wistful. But if you have this sorrow, this deep sorrow that you're not a peaceful person, then there should be a desire when it says again and again in peace, let us pray to the Lord. That is not really so much a command or a request as it should be. You should convert it to a prayer. In other words, God, help us to be at peace. Help me to be at peace, my loved ones to be at peace, the ones I don't love so much to be at peace. So there should be sort of a prayer even as you're hearing it, because you are responding by saying, Lord of Mercy. Now, I think I've spoken of Lord of Mercy before. It was what brought me to the Orthodox Church. That simple prayer brought me to the Orthodox Church. And the reason why was because as a Protestant, there was this idea we had God's mercy. Because we were sinful, and God couldn't bear any people with sin, and everyone gets judged for sin and goes to hell for sin. So there must be a judgment. So Jesus Christ took on that judgment. That's all new style, heretical theology that is now basically anybody who's not an Orthodox Christian believes it. And unfortunately, some Orthodox Christians, not knowing their faith, believe it as well. And it's called the substitutionary atonement. And there's various versions of it. And the people that I was hanging out with, we had God's mercy. So we were going to go out and try to spread His mercy, spread His love to others, because we're saved. And yet as a young man, I thought, well, I don't feel all that saved. Yes, I think I'm being saved, but there's things in me that are still dark. I still don't have the peace that I should have because of the things I say and do and the person that I am. And so I came to an Orthodox church, just a Vesper service. And of course, there's lots of Lord have mercy responses. And I was just absolutely just slain by it. It was just amazing to me because this was people, a group of people that knew that they could do nothing without God. So they kept saying, Lord of Mercy. Now, if we understand mercy, a Christian concept of mercy, it's not like the world's. The world's concept of mercy is you should be judged, but the judgment is put off or even canceled. That's mercy. But actually, mercy is God's love. Mercy is God wanting us to have knowledge of Him because He loves us. Mercy is that we take care of our children. Mercy is that we love our friends. And we are asking God for mercy, meaning, God, help me. I need help. I can't even breathe without God helping me. You think it's because you're in good shape and because you exercise. No, it's because God keeps you alive by His mercy. So when we're saying, Lord, have mercy, this is a very important prayer. And of course, the Jesus prayer is sort of an elongation of that that is even more important. To say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Or if you shorten it like I do, because I don't like a lot of words when I pray. So I just say, Jesus, have mercy. the most important word there is Jesus. So we say, Lord, have mercy when we are asked to pray in peace. And then the deacon or the priest says, help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace. Here we are recognizing, even in a more exact way, what the prayer, Lord, have mercy, understands. Help us and keep us, O God, by thy grace. We can do nothing without grace. And of course, grace is not a created thing. Grace is God. Grace is the energy of God reaching out to us and us becoming aware of his grace. That's very important. And us being changed by his grace. You could think of grace as sunlight. Well, if a flower sees grace, sees sunlight, and grows towards the shadow, then it is acting unlike its nature. Because we all know, from biology, right? Phototropism. The flower grows towards the light. Well, we should grow towards the light as well. We should be seeking God's grace, seeking God's presence in our life, and knowing that we can't do anything without him. We're so sure of ourselves, aren't we? Which is really the definition of insanity, isn't it? You know, it's kind of a funny little joke maybe, but it's really true. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. If we depend upon ourselves, we will always fail. Now, perhaps God might not allow us to fail because our failure would be so catastrophic, but we will eventually fail if we only depend on ourselves. And we will have all these micro failures if we depend on ourselves. But if we depend on God and his mercy and his grace, we will be successful. Now, the last petition of this small lectenia is called into remembrance our most holy, most pure, most blessed, glorious Lady Theotokos and ever Virgin Mary and all of the saints. Let us commit ourselves and one another and all of our life unto Christ our God. It's very important to commit yourself constantly. It's very important to every moment to say, I am a Christian, I should live a certain way. Now, perhaps the moment before you were not living the right way, well, then you should recommit yourself to live the right way. If you say a nasty word to someone, then you should immediately apologize and recommit yourself to the Christian way of living. This is a basic principle of living life that is eternal. Now, we invoke the Theotokos and the saints because they are the examples of who we will be. But they also are just like us, except better because they have fought the good fight and finished the course. So we remember the whole choir of the saints when we say this prayer. It's not just something we just say. We don't. When the priest says through the prayers of our holy fathers, or when there's long list of saints that are given, names that are given at the end of various services. If you notice that Father Nicholas and I have different lists, because it's really kind of a personal thing. But when you hear the names of those saints, you should feel that you have some kindred with them, some semblance with them, but also you're different than them. You're different with them because you sin and they no longer sin. So there should be a sense of community with them, and people need support. We always need somebody having our back. We always need somebody that's accomplished it before and will tell us, you know what, the troubles you're going through, I went through those, and you can get through it. So we have the saints to help us. What a lonely belief it must be if all you have is the pages of the Bible and nothing else. And the saints are just history. Our saints are not history. Our saints are present life. So we invoke them. Of course, then the priest gives an exclamation. And if you look at those exclamations carefully, they're all different and they're all the same. Because all of them are invoking the Holy Trinity. All of them. And they say different things and then they are invoking the Holy Trinity. So I hope you will listen to the prayers, even the ones that you hear all the time, and will benefit from them. And will use them as an example of how you should live, how you should pray. If we pray a lot for something, you should pray a lot for something. If something is emphasized in our services, then you should emphasize it in your life. If you do this, then you'll be living in your heart. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.